Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9 and verse 13. I was joking with my friend Pastor Moses. I was going to preach about Moses. But really, I'm going to preach about Pharaoh. I'm glad your name's not Pharaoh, brother, amen? His name is Moses. Exodus chapter 9 and verse 13. Exodus chapter 9, verse 13. Exodus 9:13, the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine house, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, and I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. And yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Let's stop at this point here and pray and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, help me do my best to expound the word of God this Lord's Day. You've given us a great meeting already. We're thankful for the enthusiasm about Vacation Bible School with neighborhood Bible time. We're thankful for the good testimonies. We're thankful for the music. But now we ask you to help us as we open up the Word of God and study the Word of God. I pray for anyone in this room that's been careless and who's been trifling with the things of God, oh, may the Spirit of God cut through today and convict them. And maybe there's someone here not saved. Oh, Lord, I pray today you'll save them. I pray, Lord, the Spirit of God will speak to hearts. And may the Spirit of God help me to do my best to preach the Bible and declare the gospel. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning I'd like to preach about Pharaoh. My message is entitled, Why Did God Raise Up Pharaoh? That's an important question. Why did God raise up Pharaoh? And the answer to this question is found in Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, what I just read. The Lord says, and in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. That's why God raised up Pharaoh. Look also with me. You don't have to turn there, but I'll quote it to you from Romans chapter 9, verse 17. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. So there we have the answer of why God raised up Pharaoh. Firstly, that God's name would be declared throughout all the earth. Now, if you know your Bible, you know Pharaoh died a terrible death, a horrible death. While pursuing the Israelites, the Lord drowned Pharaoh and drowned his entire army in the midst of the Red Sea. Quickly, look at Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. By the way, God warned Pharaoh many, many times. And Pharaoh did not heed God's warnings. And so God drowned Pharaoh in the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 26. Exodus 14, verse 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the land, out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So Pharaoh died a terrible death. Horrible death. Drowned, he and his whole army, in the midst of the Red Sea. One preacher described the scene this way. He said, it is rather a ghastly and gruesome sight. There they lie, the soldiers of the once proud army of Egypt. They are in all sorts of positions, these dead men. Some have their hands pillowed peacefully upon their arms as if in sleep. Others have their hard faces half buried in the sand. Others still lie prone upon their backs with bits of seaweed in their hair and their sightless eyes staring in terror at nothing. They are very much alike, these corpses, but here is one that is different. Look at the rich costume in which it is dressed. Look at its bejeweled fingers. There's no crown upon its brow. There's no scepter in that nerveless hand. Yet it is easy to guess that this corpse was once a king. Yes, this is the body of Pharaoh, the one-time ruler of Egypt. But here he lies today among the meanest of his soldiers. He is sprawled in unkingly fashion upon his face, as if the sea had spit him out in sheer nausea and disgust. This ghastly piece of royal rottenness has not been thrown upon this shore by the hand of man. As we look at him, we see in him a monument of the power of God. And strange to say, he is not a monument of God's power to save and to keep and to utilize, but of God's power to thwart and to disappoint and to wreck and to utterly destroy. And in his destruction, God tells us that he has achieved his purpose. Why did God raise up Pharaoh? That God's name would be declared throughout all the earth. All throughout the Bible, we hear about how God overthrew Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Some might think it was unfair of God to raise up Pharaoh and then to destroy him. But that would be a superficial understanding of Scripture. Let me give you an example. Psalm 136. Psalm 136 begins by stating, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." The emphasis in Psalm 136 is on the mercy of God, on the goodness of God, for his mercy endureth forever. We see that in verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. Over and over we see the same statement, for his mercy endureth forever. But then we come to Psalm 136 and verse 15. Why don't we look at that? Psalm 136 and verse 15. Psalm 136 and verse 15. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. He certainly was merciful to Moses and the Israelites. Amen? He said, what about Pharaoh? He was merciful to Pharaoh. He gave him many opportunities to repent. And we'll say more about that. Now, the Bible says God was not only merciful to the Israelites and to Moses. God was merciful to the Egyptians and to Pharaoh. In fact, the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. That's Acts 10:34. Look also at Romans 2:11. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. So we see that in Acts 10:34. We see that in Romans 2:11. Romans 3:29. Romans chapter 3, verse 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? I hope not. I think not. If that were the case, what are we doing here today? Most of us are not Jews. Most of us are Gentiles. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. God was merciful to Pharaoh. God is no respecter of persons. Romans chapter 10 and verse 12. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That means there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. I don't care if you're a Jew, a Gentile, black, white, rich, poor. If you call on the Lord, amen, he'll answer you. Amen? Amen? You're not saved, he'll save you.
Amen.
The Bible says, and quite plainly, in Romans 10:12, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 11, verse 32, says God has mercy upon all. God does not want to destroy people. Sinners destroy themselves by their disobedience. God does not want to send people to hell. No, God does not want to do that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, says God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Then you say, preacher, how come all men aren't saved? Not because God doesn't want to save them. They don't want to get right with God. That's the problem. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We have to keep these scriptures in mind when we think about Pharaoh. Men like Pharaoh turn their back on God. Men like Pharaoh scorn God and reject God. And then they have to suffer the consequences of their disobedience and their unbelief. So if men like Pharaoh reject the gospel and turn their backs on God, they will certainly have to suffer the consequences. If they reject the gospel, they will go to hell. But that will be their fault, not God's. I quoted Romans chapter 9, verse 17 earlier. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Now, some people have misunderstood and misinterpreted that passage in Romans chapter 9. Look at it quickly with me today. Romans 9:22, for example. Go to Romans 9:22. I just quoted Romans 9:17. Don't have time to look at the whole chapter. But I will say this. Some people misunderstand Romans chapter 9. And one of the verses they misunderstand is verse 22. Romans 22 says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And they'll take that and say, well, there you have it. Pharaoh was a vessel of wrath fitted to destruction. All right? Pharaoh was a vessel of wrath fitted to destruction. But who fit him for destruction? I submit to you, Pharaoh fitted himself for destruction. God did not fit Pharaoh for destruction. God does not fit men for destruction. Because the Bible teaches God is merciful, and God is long-suffering, and God is gracious, and God is good, and God does not fit men for destruction. Look again at verse 22. The Bible says in verse 22, he says he endured with much long-suffering. God is long-suffering. The Bible says that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. The word endured in Romans chapter 9, verse 22, implies opportunity to repent. God gives sinners opportunities to repent. If you've been in the soul-winning business for any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. God gives people time to repent. Some people take those opportunities and get right with God. Others do not. Whose fault is it if they do not? Their own fault. They're not God's. The word endured means God puts up with a lot. But you know, God's mercy and God's patience and God's long suffering has a limit. That's what happened to Pharaoh. Pharaoh crossed that point of no return when God said, okay, Pharaoh, it's all over for you. The same endurance teaches us that God was working and still is working, not only to save the Jewish people from their sins, but also that he's carrying out a larger purpose, that is to save both Jews and Gentiles. Look at Romans 9:23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So that's a larger purpose here. God is working to save sinners, both Jews and Gentiles. Look also at Romans chapter 9 and verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. And this aspect of God's program is developed further in Romans chapter 10 and 11. So why did God raise up Pharaoh? God raised up Pharaoh that his name would be declared throughout all the earth. God is long-suffering to all, Jew and Gentile, Israelite and Egyptian. God is merciful to all. He endures with patience and forbearance the wickedness and unbelief of hell-deserving sinners. And let me just say this right now. Perhaps there's someone in this room today and you've never been saved. You've never been born again. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't wear out God's patience. Don't trifle with God's patience and long-suffering and God's goodness and mercy and God's grace. Because God is gracious. That's why you're here today. Amen? Amen. You're under the sound of the gospel. You've heard it proclaimed that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you. You heard it in various testimonies earlier from the two neighborhood Biblehood men. Both of them gloriously saved. One way down in Colombia. You've heard it in Pastor Small, saved in the Philippines while he was in Vietnam. Later on in the Philippines, how God was working in his heart. Listen, God is no respecter of persons. And God will save you, but you have to put your trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't wear out God's patience and God's mercy and forbearance. That's a foolish thing to do. So God raised up Pharaoh, the Bible says, to declare his power, to show his power throughout the earth. And then secondly, God raised up Pharaoh to show that God hates crime. That's so important to understand. God hates proud. There's two words that don't go together. You know, that is proud Christian. Now, proud sinner, yes, that those words are very compatible. But there shouldn't be, those two words, proud sinner, don't sound right to my ears. Look at Exodus 9:17, please. Exodus 9:17. Exodus chapter 9 and verse 17. And as yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that I will not let them go. Pharaoh exalted himself. Pharaoh was a proud king, and he exalted himself. God blessed Pharaoh in many ways. Pharaoh had a vast kingdom. Who gave him that kingdom? God gave him that kingdom. Sure. You know what Daniel the prophet said to proud King Nebuchadnezzar applies to all worldly kings and all prime ministers and presidents and rulers and dictators, no matter who they are. This is what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 2, verse 37. For the God of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. God, the man of God, Daniel, the prophet of God, said that to worldly, heathen King Nebuchadnezzar. He said to proud King Nebuchadnezzar, for the God of heaven has given you your kingdom and power and strength and glory. That applies to all kings, including Pharaoh. God put him where he was. God took care of Pharaoh. And by the way, later on, Daniel said the same thing to Belshazzar. He said to King Belshazzar, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. He was trying to tell Belshazzar, God gave your grandfather, King Nebuchadnezzar, this great kingdom, but he was proud. And God had to humble him. And you had to learn the lesson of your grandfather. And the writing was on the wall. And that night, King Belshazzar died. And the Medes and Persians took over the kingdom. King Nebuchadnezzar was proud. So God had to humble him. Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged this. Nebuchadnezzar realized this. And Nebuchadnezzar himself said in Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. And by the way, those aren't just warnings for kings. Those are warnings for all proud men and women. Pharaoh also acknowledged that he was a proud sinner. But apparently Pharaoh's repentance was not sincere. Look with me back in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 27. Exodus 9, 27. Exodus 9, 27. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron. And he said unto them, I have sinned. He said, I've sinned this time. The Lord is righteous and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough. That there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, As soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, and the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold, but the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more, and hardened his heart. I want you to mark those words, he hardened his heart. Hardened his heart. I'll say more about that in a few minutes. He hardened his heart. He and his servants. In other words, I mean, the servants also hardened their hearts. And the heart of the Pharaoh was hardened. Neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. In other words, the Lord already told Moses, Pharaoh's going to harden his heart. And you know what? The Lord said, and I'm going to harden his heart too. That was God's judgment upon Pharaoh. So, why did God raise up Pharaoh? Well, not only to show his power throughout the earth, but also to show that God hates pride. God raised up Pharaoh to show the world that he hates pride. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17 says, These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. What comes first? A proud look. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Notice a proud look comes first. You know what a proud look is, right? A snooty look, a highfalutin look, an arrogant look, that haughty look. God hates pride. Proverbs 15:25 says, The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Listen, beloved, the Lord destroyed Pharaoh's house. Look at Exodus 12, verse 29. Exodus 12, verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne. Hey, God killed all the firstborn. You know who he started with? Pharaoh's son. He started right off with Pharaoh's son. The Bible says the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. An abomination. That word is a strong word. That means God hates pride. God detests pride. It's an abomination to him. So, hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. For God to be true to his word, God had to punish Pharaoh. For God to be true to his word. God had given Pharaoh many, many warnings. But Pharaoh would not listen to God. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 10 says, the Lord showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and on all his servants and on all the people of his land, for thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day. Notice, God knew that they dealt proudly against them. So why did God raise up Pharaoh? One, to declare his name throughout the whole world. Two, to show that he hates pride. And thirdly, I've already touched upon this, but I want to hit it again because it's so important. Thirdly, to give sinners an opportunity to repent. The Lord gave Pharaoh many, many opportunities to repent. You remember, even Pharaoh's magicians, all mixed up in the occult world, all mixed up with witchcraft and demonism. Even Pharaoh's magicians tried to warn Pharaoh, but he wouldn't listen to them. Look quickly, Exodus 8, verse 19. Exodus chapter 8, verse 19. Then the magicians, now keep in mind, these are men that are mixed up in all sorts of occultism and demonism and witchcraft and sorcery. And the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Hey, even his magicians recognized God's hand there. Said, Pharaoh, back off. This is the finger of God. You can't fight against God. But he wouldn't even listen to his own magician. Isn't that something? Remember, Pharaoh was listening to his magicians when they counseled him to do wrong. But when they tried to tell him to do right, he wouldn't listen to them. Huh? He would listen to them when they counseled him to do the wrong thing, but he turned a deaf ear to them when they counseled him to do right. I mentioned earlier that some have misinterpreted Romans 9:22. They say, well, Pharaoh was a vessel of wrath fitted to destruction by God. Beloved, remember this. God does not fit men to destruction. The Bible teaches men fit themselves to destruction. God gave Pharaoh many opportunities to repent, just like today God has given sinners many, many opportunities to repent. Many years ago, Charles Haddon Spurgeon preached on Romans 9:22, and here's what he said. I speak with the deepest sorrow when I ask the question with the probability, nay, the almost certainty, that it must be answered in the affirmative. Are there not some of you here present who are being fitted for destruction? God is not fitting you, you are fitting yourselves. By daily developing and indulging the depravity of your heart, you are seeking out every new pleasure and every new sin. And though often warned to turn from your course of evil, are there not some of you who are rushing headlong to destruction? Are not many of you, by a course of sin and folly, ripening yourselves for the great harvest of the Lord? Are you not making yourselves ready to be a stubble, fully dried, cast into the oven of his wrath? This is not to be laid to the charge of God, but at your own door the guilt must lie. Pharaoh was a vessel of wrath, fitted to destruction. But God did not fit him for destruction. Pharaoh fitted himself. It's interesting that in the Greek language, the word fitted is in a middle voice. That means they fitted themselves to destruction. That's the idea. The Greek sometimes is more definitive and clear than the English. good Bible study books point this out. For example, Vines says, here the middle voice signifies that those referred to fitted themselves for destruction, as illustrated in the case of Pharaoh. Ryrie's study Bible says they were ripe for destruction because of their own actions of rejecting the truth. Again, remember Psalm 136 and verse 15. God overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. Pharaoh was drowned in the Red Sea because Pharaoh rejected God. I hope there's nobody here today so foolish as to reject God. Don't reject God. Look what Pharaoh said. Look at Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Look at Pharaoh's response. Look at how Pharaoh responded to the man of God. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Who's God? I don't have to listen to God. Who is this God? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Notice, I don't know the Lord. Let me ask you something. Do you know the Lord? I'll tell you this. When Pharaoh was in the Red Sea and the water was coming down on his head and he was drowning, I think in his last breath he said, now I know the Lord. Too late then. Don't wait. Don't wait for the last minute and say, uh-oh, the Bible is real. Hey, as you're slipping into hell, don't say, oh no, the Bible's real. That preacher was right. My mom and dad were right. People in Bible Baptist Church were right. Oh no, hell is real. Don't wait till then. Get right with God now while you still have the time. God gave Pharaoh many opportunities to repent. And God is still giving sinners many opportunities to repent. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Remember this. The Lord loved Pharaoh no less than he loved Moses. God is no respecter of persons. The Lord loved Judas Iscariot. Remember after Judas betrayed Jesus, Jesus said to him, friend, wherefore art thou come? He called him friend. There was still time for Judas to repent, but he crossed that line. It was too late. Pharaoh crossed that line. Unsaved friend, don't cross that line. Don't cross that line. Come to the Lord before it's too late. Now, whatever failure Judas made of his life, whatever failure Pharaoh made of his life, whatever failure any of us make with our lives, it was not because God forced us to do so. We can't blame God. Pharaoh cannot blame God. God gave Pharaoh so many opportunities to repent. Look quickly, Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. This can apply, and it's specifically talking about the Jewish people who killed Christ, and it could include Judas who betrayed him. But you can apply this to Pharaoh. You can apply this to any sinner. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. He says, him, referring to Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Yes, it was according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, but they were responsible because by wicked hands they crucified our Lord. God raised up Pharaoh, and God gave Pharaoh many opportunities to repent. And Pharaoh would not take those opportunities. Pharaoh continued to reject God and defy God. And finally, God had no choice but to drown him in the Red Sea. And whatever way we go wrong, we do not do so because God planned that we should. We do it because of our own willfulness and wicked rebellion against God. God could not force Pharaoh to do right. God can't force you and me to do right. God can't force anyone to do right. You know, there's an important word found many times in the story of Pharaoh, and I referred to it earlier. That word is harden. hearted, prickly. Look at Exodus 4, verse 21. If you like to mark your Bible, you might want to mark some of these references. Exodus 4, verse 21. And the Lord said to Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart. Notice that. And then chapter 7, verse 3. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Chapter 7, verse 13. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Look at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Look at chapter 7, verse 22. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Look also in chapter 8, verse 15. And when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart. And then look at verse 19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And then look at chapter 8, verse 32. Chapter 8, verse 32. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. And then look also with me at chapter 9 and verse 7. Chapter 9, verse 7. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. And then look also with me at chapter 9 and verse 12. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And then verse 34. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And then verse 35, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. And then chapter 10, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants. And then chapter 10, verse 20. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And then verse 27. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And then look also at chapter 11, verse 10. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And then look at chapter 14 and verse 4. Chapter 14 and verse 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And then verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And then verse 17. And I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. You know, it's also referred to elsewhere in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6 says, wherefore then do you harden your hearts, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? Romans chapter 9, verse 18 says, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Proverbs 29, verse 1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Pharaoh was often reproved, and Pharaoh was destroyed without remedy. Pharaoh defied God. Look with me, if you will. We just looked at it briefly in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 28. Exodus 10, verse 28. And Pharaoh said unto Moses, get thee from me! Take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. Guess what happened? Moses didn't die, Pharaoh did. Look at verse 29. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. You know, Moses was saying, Pharaoh, I think you just about reached the point of no return. And you're not going to see my face anymore. I'm through with you. I'm not going to come back and warn you anymore. Beloved, God is telling you, you're going to reach that point of no return. And God's going to say, don't cross that line, because when you do, you're not going to see my face anymore. Don't wear out God's patience. Don't do that. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And you know what happened? When Pharaoh hardened his heart, God said, you know what? I'm going to harden his heart now. And beloved, when God hardens your heart, it's all over. It's all over when God hardens your heart. Sin and unbelief causes hearts to be hardened. At first, the Lord allows this stubbornness and defiance to be manifested, but eventually God confirms a person in his hardness. God confirms them in that hardness. And then it's too late. Shall suddenly be destroyed, and not without remedy. And that is why God raised up Pharaoh, according to the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be in thy house this Lord's Day. Lord, I don't know the hearts of people, but you know the hearts of each and every person here today. If there's anybody with a hard heart, I pray, Lord, that you'll convict them about that, and soften that heart. Maybe it's a backslidden believer, maybe it's an unsaved person. Whatever it is, have your way during this invitation.